Some perhaps would be interested in hearing Musa in various areas where we are remiss in Shmiras HaMitzvot. I leave that for some other time. I prefer tonight not to speak on such a topic. I would rather speak to you about something which to me is of more importance than that. And perhaps if we will realize what we are talking about tonight, then the other matters that perhaps people would like to have discussed will automatically be solved. We say in Krishna, this is our Krishna, tonight, every night, Krishna shall have the second bracha of Ava. Ava Shalom, you mentioned there the Torah and Mitzvah, Hem Chayenu Ve'Oirat Yomim. They are our life and the length of our days. In other words, the Torah Jew feels that what is his lifeblood, Hem Chayenu Ve'Oirat Yomim. You ask someone else what his lifeblood is, the blood that runs through your veins, that's your lifeblood. If you don't have that, you can't continue. And the Jew says, no, that isn't the lifeblood of a Jew. That's lifeblood for an animal also, not only for a human being. What is our lifeblood? In what way is our life as human, and not only as human, as B'nai Yisroel, out of the Chatzon people, what creates our life? What differentiates it from the animal world? What makes us human? Ki Hein Chayenu Ve'Oirat Yomim. This is our lifeblood, Torah and Mitzvah. Moshiach, if you care. Therefore, we are continually engaged in siyach. Siyach is the same. Speaking of Torah and in Torah. Sicho b'Torah, sicho b'mitzvah. In discussing Torah Hashem, the most important thing that a person is interested in discussing is that which controls his life. What is our life? Hein Chayenu Ve'Oirat Yomim. Therefore, Nosiach B'Chukecho. We are engaged continually in speaking Torah. Thinking Torah is not sufficient. All the thoughts in the Torah world must be brought forth and expressed through the power of speech. Nosiach B'Chukecho. Hashem Yisborach created the human individual, Odom. Vayitach ba'apo nishmas chayim. He put into him a neshama, a soul. Vayihiyo Odom, the nefesh hayo, a living being. In what sense? Utele says, nefesh hayo, ruach memalel. An individual, a creature who is endowed with the power of speech. In this is the human being different from the animal world. All else was created before the creation of man. Man was the final creature to be created. And he had within him this elevation of soul of Ruach Memalo, the power of speech. If this is what makes man the power of speech, so he has to guard this power, that it shouldn't become animalized, nor siach before careful. If the power of speech is used for this high purpose, then you are a human being. Then you are what Hashem Yisborach wanted to make man for. If not, what do we need you in this world? These are psukim. I'm not telling you droshes, my thoughts, what I think about these things. These are psukim in the Torah. This is what Torah teaches us. This is what I'm telling you, says Hashem Yisborach. If you look at it from that angle, that when a person uses his power of speech, not in this manner, when you look at it from this angle, that this is the difference between the animal and the Ben Yisroel, what would we do if a person were seen all of a sudden puncturing his light vein and drawing forth his blood? What is wrong with you? You're committing suicide. What would we do? I was listening to Prius Atheil, and a good friend goes over to him and disturbs him and starts to wag his tongue also about very, very important matters in Chaiflady. What are you doing? Murder! He's engaged in theater. He's engaged in living. He's engaged in the power and the pleasure of what it means to be a Nishmas Chayim, a Ruach Memalo. What are you doing to it? You're using that power for nothing. You're wasting such a beautiful, beautiful commodity, power of speech. You're murdering me. Do we think in such terms? When we waste not minutes, but hours in empty talk, do we ever stop to think, evolving the will, the cadence of it? Never. Never. Many times we call it relaxation. Why your relaxation? A person works hard and he has to relax. So he decides to kill himself for 3 hours. You have some relaxation, you see. But then I joke that not when I did. I gave up that not when I did. Relaxation means also to use all your powers for proper needs. But who ever heard of relaxation being stop living for 3 hours? I joke that we should have that not when I did. That's what we are. That's what we're doing with ourselves. Imagine, the Gaon Zichrono Livracha made a cheshbon ha-nefesh once. The Aliyos Eliyahu brings this. For Rosh Hashanah, he went through his year, and he found that he's remiss 6 minutes in the year people Torah, in which he had not been engaged in Torah. Torah does not necessarily mean that he was looking at the Gemara and trying to understand the mitzvah. All the interests of mitzvah, all the interests of value for a Jew in life, that's Torah. He found 6 minutes in which he was not engaged in Torah. Let us begin to learn from this how the Gaon thought of this commodity called time. How he spent his time, the most precious of all commodities,
is time. A minute lost is lost forever. You lose a million, you make it back. You lose diamonds, you'll get other circulation. You lose 1 minute, gone forever, never to come back. It's the most precious of all commodities. How careful must one be in counting every minute of life? And that's the way to go and live. Just make a hedge for yourself. 365 days in a year. Every day, 24 hours. Every hour, 60 minutes. You count up how many minutes in a year. And the goal knew how many minutes and had them down pat. And he saw before himself, before Rosh Hashanah, 6 minutes were wasted. And for those 6 minutes he wept. The children. Where do we stand when we hear such a thing? Do we know how many minutes we waste? Not in a year, not in a month, not in a week. Are we aware of how many minutes we waste in a day? Not in 24 hours, but in one day. Before we go to bed, how many minutes were wasted by us to no purpose whatsoever? We didn't expend them in a profitable manner. Wir trachten aus unserer Zeit. Everything with us, we live in a world where everything is automatic. Time, sure, time is there. We never stop to think. Time is one of the creations of Hashem Yisborach. He himself is above time. Far above time. Hashem Yisborach created a world, a creation. And one of the commodities created in this creation is the commodity of time. Zman, b'tabashat. And he wants it to be used for our benefit. Are we aware of it? Is this the way we have lived throughout a year? When we come in Rosh Hashanah to him, Yisborach, what are we going to bring there to him of the time of the past year? What are we going to tell him? Look at the Bnei Shalilu. Look how we took care of this commodity. Is that what we're going to tell him? Either we don't know what it's all about, so we'll tell him nothing. No, it's happening in the Mazer. I'm a joke. And if you do know, we're going to be terribly ashamed to tell it. And I'm not talking to you, gentlemen, I'm talking to myself. But I hope you don't mind if you hear what I'm telling myself. This is the way we live today. From absolute intention. What is Zeit? What is a minute? If we did, every time we were engaged in something that's valueless, we would stop immediately. Give out, I'm taking diamonds and throwing them into the sea. But we never think about these things. These are the messiah shishonim, kimerutas hasus. Just like a horse is running. He has no concept of thinking where he's running. I like the tail. We are also, Dr. Messiah shishonim, the same. Ferdish and tet and ferdish and tapoy. Malay, what's that? Show me, what have you done? What have you created in a year? What value has been brought forth in a year of living? Do we ever think about these things? When we come in Rosh Hashanah, is this what bothers us when we stand before Hashem Yisborach?
Or are we bothered merely to pray to him, tap in him, even the nine year at each year? With a shiris, with a husband, with kinder, with all of it zusammen. To that extent will my meaning, that if not for him, we wouldn't have it. But are we thinking about what we did with all this nachas that he gave us in the past years? How did we expend it? Do we mean to expend it the same way in the coming year? Or just fame it and Britain? These are things that have to bother us. And the Rabbi said this long ago. This is the nature of man. Mitzvah Hashem becomes with him a mitzvah sandoshim mulumod. It's something that happens of itself. Something that I become accustomed to and I do it. I put on tefillin because I'm accustomed to putting on tefillin. When I don them in the morning, do I think, what am I now engaged in? What am I doing when I bind it around my arm? When I place it upon my head? Put on your crown of beauty. Do we then think when you put on the steel wall that puts beside the feet and stretch and doesn't think that hot new hell, all of the steel is covered up? No. Unter a baby shilling him house and stuff. So how merciful indeed is he? But you are trying it out. What does a father do to a child? If he acts that way, in putting on his tefillin on the first day of his bar mitzvah. Was it off? Well, if I'm not trusting, if I hate Christian, we do it every day throughout our lifetime. And the Rebbe is going to frask it with me. And the Rachmon is up on us. And Avar, still has some time. Maybe tomorrow will be better. We would think along these lines. Gewalden der Welt, how different we would become. How different we would become. So won't be shy of today. It's beyond imagination. What this alone would do to us. So that's why I tell you, I begin to think and give ourselves, Musa, we went for a miss in this mitzvah, We went for a miss in not even knowing who are we? What are we? We don't give thought. There is where we're remiss. And you won't get trapped. What's dining here? We may believe ourselves that we wouldn't be going to remiss in Shmira Samitsis. Yes, it could happen. But the whole concept of living would be a completely different thing. But the way we live from day to day, the lemmi can lemmi, and we call it living. Then again, that I eat rachm, and it's puts again as often and on today. Next week is going to be the sleepest day they can get up on. So, what's it going to be? That's the sleepest. Midnight. Used to every year. That's the way it works. And the sleepless period starts. Sleepless means the tremendous heart. It means we've gone remiss and we're asking for forgiveness. Do we feel that we've done something that calls for forgiveness? Do we feel that we haven't used time properly? Do we feel what is the gift of life that Hashem Yisborach has given to us? And how have we used that gift? Do we feel that? So beyond all else, before we begin thinking of the whole Al-Chet that we say on Yom Kippur, this great Al-Chet, life itself, the Burnish Eloyim, just look down and see how we haven't used it properly. How we haven't expended it properly.
how we've wasted the most precious of all commodities, we've wasted time. And when we've seen others who do use it properly, how many times have we disturbed them? So we have actually committed murder against these people. We have disturbed them from what to them is a recognition of what life really means. These are thoughts that should strike us at this time of year. The Shadish, the blue Schaefer. That Schaefer is the Schaefer, Chazal tell us, that plowed the soil blue when Moshe Rabbeinu went up on the Shadish Elo to receive the second Kippus after that terrible, terrible sin and crime. After the first lupus of the Pesel, after that crime, Hashem Yisborach, with His forgiveness, with His rachmin, hearken to the prayers of Moshe Rabbeinu, who prayed with Mesiras Nefesh, that they be forgiven. And he was told to come up, and he'd be given his second lupus, nowhere near what the first one was. That you lost. That opportunity is gone. You'll have to wait till Mashiach to change from you. But I won't renounce you altogether. So he comes up for the second lupus. But you have to remember what happened when he went up and disappeared from the first. The angel. So Klal Yisroel, the Beis Din, blew a shofar. And they were machris, they called forth throughout the entire community of the Midbar. Moshe all of the whole. Be aware of the fact he hasn't disappeared. He's gone up to the hall to see the benefits of the Rachmei Hashem. And upon that shofar, the Navi says, Ayitokash Korbir, Yohom Lo Yechrodu. Is it possible to hear the sound of the shofar and you should be not be overtaken by fear? When Klal Yisrael heard that shofar, they became aware of what is now coming to pass. And there didn't emerge an eagle from this Aliyah Lahore. And we continue that first shofar, the Torah tells us, straight through Elul day after day. From one day to another, we may forget. That's the weakness of humankind. Yesterday, we took a shofar of the Omer Yitrodu, Moritz Rodeh. You sit up, you shiver from fear. The next day, you don't hear the shofar. He said, I'll be fine, good, everything's okay. Bless the last week, more shofar. You continue throughout the Elul. Then you stop before Rosh Hashanah for one day, because tomorrow is going to be another shofar. This was a shofar as a remembrance of that shofar Bamidbar. There's no mitzvah written in the Torah to blow that shofar. But we do ourselves the favor, the chesed, of blowing that shofar. But lest you think that the shofar of Rosh Hashanah is that same shofar, no, stop one day. And tomorrow on Rosh Hashanah, then he mechayim the mitzvah of Tias Shofar. And what does the Rambam say in the Rosh Hashanah didn't say to him? Remez Yeshu. We do not know the reasons for God's mitzvah. All the reasons that we give are only meant to make it more palatable for us. We who
you don't understand the wishes of the Almighty. And when we give a time, what we in English usually call a reason, or let us say a taste of a mitzvah, a time of the mitzvah, that's far lower than the Rebbeinu Shlomo's reason in mitzvah. We can't grasp that, we can't reach it. Rambam says, even though Kriya Sheva is Zera Min HaShemayim, the Rebbeinu Shlomo's mitzvah, it's a Zera whether we understand it or not, and we don't understand why. But Remez Yesh Gedolah, there is something for us to learn in this. And he speaks beautifully about us in this world who spend our days and our time behavli asman in the foolishness of what goes on throughout time, day and night. An entire year we've been spending our time in these havolim. The Sefer comes to remind us, this is what you've been doing with time. Stop it! You're expending the most important of commodities in the most foolish of ways. Understand that you're called by the Sefer to stand before Hashem Yisborah, the Sefer of Rosh Hashanah. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo is well aware of our weaknesses. And because he's so aware of it, he's Molei Rachmi, full of mercy. And this repeats itself year after year. We cannot say that it makes no impression upon us, hospitably. We can't even begin to imagine how deep the impression is year after year, another charodet that our hearts move year after year. Now that keeps up for a lifetime. We can't even imagine what we would have been if not for these charodes of every Rosh Hashanah. This is the mercy of Hashem Yisborah. Year after year, arouse and make this reckoning of what life has meant for you, how you have expended it, what you've done with it, and what you intend to do with it further from now on. When you live that way, there's always the hope that maybe, maybe, I will arrive at a time when I will be able to view life through the perspective of the Vilna Gaon, who measured and counted every moment of living to an extent to be able, Erev Rosh Hashanah, to say that 6 minutes were not used properly. All the rest of his time was used for the purpose designated by Hashem Yisborah for us to make Yisroel. There's always that hope. Perhaps we'll arrive at that stage. These are the things that should be bothering us at this time of the year. When that will be taken care of, then we can begin thinking about our chetchechaton alafenecha, this chet and that chet and all the other chetchechaton. But the first thing, arosh kriten from grub, zomen arosh kriten. To be down in the depths and to think there about how many chatoim I have, but when are you going to get out of the depths? Come back! Once you're out, then you begin to think, what did I do to put myself into those depths? Then you say, I'll take you, but only if you're You come to your people. You've gone through the Gun Hashem Eiris Eretz Yisrael. You've taken yourself out of the darkness of those depths, and you've seen the light. Now you're ready. From the perspective of the light of Rosh Hashanah, which shines upon us, you're able then to approach But as long as
please turn over to side B.
But as long as I'm there in that deep pit, in the darkness of the pit, I'll be wasting my time if I think then I'll hate you for pulling it from me. I don't even know what hate is. I don't see hate. I have no perspective of hate. First, I've got to lift myself from the pit and begin to see the light. Hashem Eliyim, there is then from there there will follow Yeshua. And what will in Yeshua be? Because once I have the perspective of life, and with that life of earth, I feel the head now, and I beg of you, the outpour of the castle face, slap over the howl of the capital. But Rosh Hashanah, impossible to speak about that. You're not ready for that. These are thoughts that should bother us at this time of year. There's a mitzvah in Torah. We say it every day in Kriyat Shema. We're commanded to study Torah and to perform mitzvahs. Your whole power of speech shall be used for them. Every time you use the power of speech, it has to be for the purpose of Torah and of mitzvahs. For no other purpose. And the Gemara says, every time you use the power of speech, not for bom, so you're able to mitzvah sasei of the dibar to bom. So it's an aveira. But you know, my friends, there's more to that in the posse than the aveira alone. There is a piece of advice that Hashem Yisborach has given us. Do you want to keep away from dwelling pain? Do you want to guard yourself from extending time and speech on foolishness, on havlei hazman? You have a wonderful answer. The Gemara Tumah, use it for Torah. If you will accustom yourself to using the power of speech for that for which speech was ordained, you will never have one faith. Why are we engaged in one faith? For us pushter in your attitude. For us holding the tights and not holding the sonnets. Why? When we call it, oh, it's only joking. For us holding the tights and not holding the sonnets. Because we're not aware, we're not conscious of the debunk of God. So we think we're doing big things. But if we would create within ourselves a consciousness of the debunk of God, we wouldn't have the time for drawing failure. Gewalden the world, how can I talk Narishkeit when I could in this very moment now be saying a positive feeling? I could say, Aloha, what not? All these treasures of our great treasure store of Torah and mitzvahs. I could use it for every minute. And look what I've done. Never would a Jew engage in drawing space. Even if it isn't Oschenholz. Even if it isn't a Fierce.
Drawing space!
He told himself.
How can I afford a thing like that?
And then you begin to think, was it only drawing space? Was it only empty talk? Or did I murder people with my talk? I didn't shoot anyone. I didn't stick a knife into his heart. But he slandered him. He spoke ill about him. That is murder. You killed the person unwittingly, thinking that you did nothing. You know this. You always tell him. I didn't do anything. I always said it. I do not even, you only said it. But saying such a thing, you're committing an act, crime, killing people with the power of your tongue. So when you start off with drawing pain, you don't build in yourself a consciousness for what speech has to be used. Ultimately, it'll always turn into Loshon Hara. To the extent that Chazal teaches, don't speak too many praises of your friend. Praise it. Shemitei Shvohoi, Boli Yehudusha. It's the nature of a human being to keep them even if you wouldn't be engaged in the Shva, so you're not talking about him, so you have to mention that in this and this he didn't do well. Now, if we begin to examine ourselves in that light, to the about tackling him, what have we done with ourselves during the past year? What have we done with ourselves? How much dwelling failing that ultimately led to Loshon Hara, to the Chilas, the Sinas Achim, creating hatred among Jews. And that's what we see throughout the world today. There was never a period in Jewish history like the one we live now in. That to me is one of the proofs that Mashiach is about to come, because it would be terrible if not. We always have Chilukei days. We have differences of opinion. There's nothing wrong with differences of opinion. Elu ve'elu, Yivrei Elikim Chayim. There were differences of opinion between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, down through the ages. Elu ve'elu, Yivrei Elikim Chayim. But that's Chilukei Deos within the framework of Torah. That brought forth love for each other. As the Gemara itself says, in reference to Bisham and Bishilo, such Chilukei Deos, as Chazal say, reach an extent where Nashu Ke'oyadim, they become like enemies to each other, b'milchamta shel Torah. And this enmity of milchamta shel Torah creates the greatest love for one another. Chilukei Deos has never destroyed Chalmishol. Today we don't have Chilukei Deos. They call it today Chilukei Deos. Jews are divided among themselves. Not Mechulot, divided. Chilukei Deos. Hatred. You pick up papers from Eretz Yisrael today. I stopped bringing it into the house. Smaller with Sina Sachi, Ufu Frube,
to tzaddikim, for Sierra Vortis, great Kedushote, all Kedushote against it, takshat, 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 pull the papers. Full of Kedushe and full of Sinas Akhid. Never in Jewish history have we ever lived through such a terrible period. Why is this? Because we have lost sight completely of the depart of bomb. Why write articles and placards talking about Narishkeiten? Engage in Torah. Engage in Torah study. Engage in Shmiras HaMitzvahs. You won't have any time to write these articles and to act like a fool. Never in Jewish history have we gone through such a terrible period as we are now going through. And there's no question in my mind that the Rebbe Yisrael is not going to permit this to continue. And I guess that he's going to bring Mashiach. Because if without Mashiach, all I see is that from day to day, it's becoming worse, not becoming better. Yeshivas occupied in this business, in this foolishness. Instead of the dark of bomb, that now is in the street, pulling in the politics that you keep caught. Well, that's the battles that are in politics. Look at the business, don't worry about the politics. Do worry about understanding that tasteless, understanding that Rashi, the Kuntza Blad Dimore, Adaf Yeni. You waste them before you sit down to the block, and the first thing you got to discuss is the new government in Israel. And when you finish with the block, you got to continue discussing the new government in Israel. Why? That's a waste of time. You're not going to create the premier, you're not going to make him leave the premiership. Wouldn't it be better, before you sit down to the block, to attune yourself, Yehawah, and get a listen to a black Gemara. What is a black Gemara? Did you ever stop to think? What's meant to slam and pay it? A dialogue with Hashem Yisburah. You're not listening to the Rebbe who's saying the black. He's only channeling to you Hashem Yisburah's speech. If he's a Rebbe that can't do it, then you have to get rid of him. Imarav Deir Malach Hashem Tzvotis. Malach is a messenger. If the Rebbe is a messenger of the Almighty, how will Torah receive him? Go seek Torah from him. You know why? He's only the Shliach. What you hear from him is God's word. And when you ask a question, you're not talking to him, you're talking to the Almighty. Where can you have such a privilege? A dialogue with Hashem Yisburah. And that's Torah learning. So if we would realize this, and every time we come in for the block, for that game, before we sit down to begin the learning, we would put to mind, we have the ability to start off with Narishkeit. Would that be possible? And if after we finish the block, if we feel that we have conversed with him, we've had a dialogue with him, would we have the power right after the blood is over to say that Loshon Hora of my friend, the next door neighbor, you know, yesterday, the lady said the block better. That's what you thought. That's what you thought. Would we say that if we felt that we weren't just listening to a human being? Through him, we were listening to Hashem Yisborach's voice, who was teaching us his truth. How lucky we then be! We then begin to understand what is that really. We then begin to understand what is a daily kriyas in learning. And maybe then when one has a daily kriyas of an hour, he becomes so overwhelmed, I want another hour. and from another hour it'd be 3 hours. Who said that the Eastern learning of the Balabos is only an hour a day? You can have it 3 and 4 hours also, and succeed better in your business that way. No question about it. Why not try it? See if my prescription will work or will not work. And the best of the prescription is that it will be saved from the poison of body pain. Speech won't be intermixed with that poison of body pain. Those are the advantages of it, the best thing in the world. And they will follow all the other blessings from that. These are things that they have to keep in mind. And when we shall so do, we'll begin to feel yet another thing. In tshuva, repentance, the Rambam says, all the mitzvahs of Torah, shiyas tshuva, v'yoshu, v'chetoi, chayov li'svadois, he has to express his guilt, his yidin, b'fnei ha'keil boruchu, before the Almighty. What does this mean, b'fnei ha'keil? Express b'fnei ha'keil. You say, chotosi. What is the concept of b'fnei ha'keil before him? In Kosovo state, l'ponecho. Before him, what does that mean? Yidin and tshuva are of value if we realize to whom we are talking. We have to have a concept that we're standing in his presence. Then the tshuva is a tshuva. But if we don't begin to feel that we're standing in the presence of Hashem Yisborah, it's not a yidin. And it's not a tshuva, it's just empty words. Ni davnim tusida, lo zogim tusida. The man's command. And all that's demanded of us is this small thing. When you begin to pray, when you begin to say obedience, when you begin to be about tshuva, attune yourself. With whom am I dealing? This may I tell you. And it's a completely different picture, a completely different world. Just one final word. The Gemara tells us that when Sanhedrin Melech Ashur was on the verge of conquering Yerushalayim, Hizkiyo HaMelech, what's to be done? What can we do? The Gemara tells us a most interesting thing, and the Gemara explains this in one of the Pshutim in Tanakh, that this is what the Pasuk means. Noach Cherem Beis HaMedrash, the Pishkesh of Beis HaMedrash, Hizkiyo HaMelech said, here Sanhedrin stands with his great army with which he has conquered an entire world, and we are the last one that he's attacking. He has cheret. We have to be fearful of that cheret. So he took his cheret and put it into the door of the Beis Medrash as you enter. Alles um sehen, es steht nur der Herr. Die Oma, wie sie jetzt sehen in Beis HaMedrash, whoever shall leave the Beis Medrash and stop study of Torah, die Gotte in der Herr hat sie, shall be killed with this Herr. Bokku mi donda der Sheva. They then began to take a census of Klal Yisroel. And they found Vulomotsu Amoretz, from the north down to the far south, me geras vagantiteres, from east to west, the lamotsu tinek vitinaitis, ish vihisho, shall all you be keen behilchus tar. Unbelievable.
But what's the concept of Noah's heresy? He wanted to punish them that anyone who leaves the Besmedes and doesn't study Torah will be killed. There's no such thing. Bikul Torah are Bikul of the Mitzvah Saseh. And there's no Bikul Mitzvah Saseh that's high in Mrs. Besden. There's no such thing. I think that Chazal want to teach us something very, very deep, what we've been talking about. We know that every thought that strikes us, if we see it with our senses, it impresses us much more. We know, Hein Chayenu Ve'erech Yomeinu. But if we would have before us someone actually drawing the blood, oi, it's murder. Kiskiyohu Noatz Chela Beves HaMedrash. And he said, you see, Tere is your lifeblood. With that we shall succeed against all the plans of Sanhedrin. And the Gemara says, they all left their fields and their vineyards. All went to nothing. They had no interest in these things of this world. They went to the Besmedes. And in the Besmedes they saw the sword. It reminded them, if I leave Besmedes, I'm killing myself. I don't need Sanhedrin then. I've done the job for him. If I stay in the Besmedes, there's no cheder in the world that can overcome me. That's what he's to go and never feel. Delimotsu amoretz mitlom vader sheva. Imagine how great we are. We're talking about faults, how we don't expend time properly, how we don't use time properly. But on the other hand, see how great is a Jew. They who were on the threshold of destruction by Sanhedrin, yet they were able to rise to the occasion. When a Jew finally does feel what it's all about, how great can he become? From the depths of the pit, he can rise to the heights of the heavens. That's a Jew, that's a Ben Yisrael. So my friends, if we will begin to realize what it's all about, we will begin to realize who we are and what we are. We have a lot to be happy with and to be proud of. Let us hope that as the new year approaches, we'll all be zeife to Aksime v'chasime teivo, under the guidance of Hashem Yisborach, in a year of Geula v'Yeshua in all respects, when we will rise thereby to the heights that every Jew potentially possesses, but we never want to make use of this potential. Let us rise. Let us be worthy of God's mercy. And then, not only will we come out of the pit to the Eir of Rosh Hashanah, not only will we be zeichet to the Yeshua of Yom Kippurim, but we will be zeichet to Zman Simchoseinu, to enjoy the happiness and the elation with the Almighty without a physical roof over our heads in the Sukkah Hashem Sholeh, in Hail of Yamin Omkar.
That's the